This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bean Cooley, sitting in for Terry Gross.
I can't count how many times your father's done something crazy like this.
It's 300, Mom.
This Sunday, Fox presents the 300th episode of The Simpsons. It's not only the longest-running animated series in primetime TV history, it's one of the longest-running, period. In fact, it's about to pass The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, which lasted 14 seasons, as the longest-running sitcom ever. Ozzie and Harriet wasn't a cartoon, but it wasn't funny either. The Simpsons was, and still is.
Bart, you're suing us?
Yes, I want to be emancipated.
Emancipated? Don't you like being a dude?
No, Dad, it means Bart would be a legal adult and free to move out of the house.
I wanted a sewing room, but not like this. Not like this!
Mom, you've always been cool to me. But Homer is a lousy dad, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Hey, my dad was lousy, and I didn't sue him. I just dumped him in the cheapest home I could find.
Matt Groening created the cartoon characters of The Simpsons 14 years ago as short features for The Tracey Ullman Show, and spun them off into their own series in 1990. I spoke to Groening in 1998, right before the broadcast of The Simpsons' 200th episode, and asked how The Simpsons compared to other American families.
I think one of the things about The Simpsons is it really is about the anxiety and consternation of living with people who drive you out of your mind. Because it's animation and because it's a comedy, we do a lot of foreshortening, a lot of slight exaggeration. I call it rubber band reality. That is, it's real, and then we stretch it out for a moment, and then it snaps back to reality. But it is about the things that drive you crazy. I mean, how do you live with people you love and you want to kill? I think that's the underlying theme of The Simpsons. And in the midst of all that, it's a celebration of that idea. That is, at the end of the day, it's not a Beckett play. It's a cartoon.
The amazing thing about The Simpsons is that it's been going on for like 172 years now, and it is still consistently entertaining week in and week out, year in and year out, in a way that most TV series that last that long are not. You guys don't seem to slump.
I think one of the reasons why The Simpsons has sustained its velocity is that each new group of animators and writers who comes on board tries to top the previous group, and we have a bunch of really talented people who are trying to cram as many jokes and observations as they can into every episode. And one thing I'm very proud of The Simpsons is that we don't have a laugh track, unlike every other sitcom on TV, although I don't think a laugh track would work anyway in animation. But anyway, we don't have one, so we get more jokes than usual in our shows. So I'm happy.
Now, with all of the new people coming in, that means old people are going out. It used to be in the late 70s and early 80s that MTM Productions was the place where people would go to learn TV and go out. And, of course, one of your partners, Jim Brooks, was one of the co-founders there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you can look back at the people that you have lost to other venues over the years for The Simpsons and point out who's doing what where now.
Well, let's see. Greg Daniels went from The Simpsons to King of the Hill and co-created that with Mike Judge. And the rest have disappeared into total obscurity. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Conan O'Brien went on to some success.
Yeah, near total obscurity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's really fun to see Conan. And also, you know, on the internet, we get lots of fan comments, and we read them and are thoroughly annoyed by them. Thank you very much. But our fans are very critical. And one of the annoying posts is the idea that the show really hasn't been the same since Conan has been gone, and if we can only get Conan back. So we're trying to get Conan back. But
tell me more about how Jim Brooks and you hooked up in the first place. What was it that you think that he saw in you that made it a good pairing?
Well, Jim was working with a producer named Polly Platt, who liked my cartoon strip Life in Hell, which was running in the Los Angeles Reader at the time, a local weekly paper. And they called me up and they said they had were doing this new comedy variety show, and they wanted to have little animated cartoons as part of the show, and suggested that I animate my life in hell characters, which I thought was a great idea. I found out that I would give up ownership of whatever it is that I put up, and so I created The Simpsons in their stead, because, you know, life in hell with my rabbits and Akbar and Jeff, that's a regular gig, and I was doing just fine with that, and I didn't know if this animation thing was going to pan out at all. And I decided not to sacrifice my own characters, so I made up these other characters I didn't really care about. The Simpsons. And they were, you know, in the back of my mind, I really wanted to, you know, do this thing as a TV series. I thought it should be a TV series. And so it was inspired by both memories of my own family and in the family sitcoms that I was glued to when I was a kid. Leave It to Beaver and Ozzie and Harriet in particular were really important to me as a kid. You know, Ozzie and Harriet, everybody thinks, oh, Ozzie and Harriet. It's like this sort of symbol for blandness. And it was kind of corny and bland, but it was also really surreal. And I'm telling you, watch those reruns. They used to run them on the Disney Channel. I don't know where they are now, but they're fantastic, really. The good ones, the early ones. Not when Ricky and Dave got married, it wasn't as good. But when they were still going through adolescence, it was really a cool show.
Tell me a little bit about Matt Groening at home when you're not at The Simpsons. How do you and your kids react to TV now? What life do you have when you're not working?
Well, I have two sons, aged 9 and 6, and they're huge fans of the show, and we have tapes of The Simpsons. And when I get up in the morning and come down to breakfast, they're usually watching the show. And I, you know, I'm not in the best of mood before I've had my coffee, and so I tell them to shut it off, and they now think that I hate The Simpsons because I don't want to hear it before I, you know, wake up in the morning. I don't like to be woken up to the sound of Bart. Also, another thing is, you know, and I'll take this opportunity to apologize to America. You know, there was a lot of complaints about Bart and what a brat he was and a bad example for kids. And I thought, come on, grow up. Stop acting like Homer Simpson and your kids won't act like Bart Simpson. But the fact is, now that I have these kids and they're quoting the show back to me, it is really annoying. I mean, we did on The Simpsons, we did, you know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? In the car. My kids, still, years later, they still think that's funny.
What were some of the things that warped you early as a teenager? I know that Rocky and Bullwinkle had to be a big influence.
I loved Rocky and Bullwinkle. I've said this before. Jay Ward and Bill Scott, who did that, were my heroes. Because here was bad animation. I mean, let's face it, Rocky and Bullwinkle is pretty flimsy looking. But it had great writing, and it had great voices, and it had great music. And I thought, boy, if you could get something like that on the air again, it'd be really fun to do. And that was one of my goals in life, and, you know.
It's one of the animated rules that I remember you mentioning is that The Simpsons will never cross their eyes. And I don't know if that goes for the other characters in the show as well, but it's just one thing that you just didn't want to have your characters do.
Oh, yeah, stylistically, there's a few rules on The Simpsons. That's one of them, that they don't go cross-eyed for gag effect. Like, if you clonk them on the head, they don't go cross-eyed, and stars don't go above their heads, and little birds fly around or anything like that. Generally, when the Simpsons fall off the cliff, the unrealistic thing is that they survive, but the realistic thing is that they're, you know, battered and bloody. You know, so I think we're one of the first cartoons to actually show blood, you know. I think even in the Tom and Jerry cartoons and some of the other very violent cat and mouse cartoons, there was no blood, but there's blood on The Simpsons.
And certainly on Itchy.
And you know, I'm proud of that, yes, too, because I don't know why.
Well, what are some of the other rules that you decided on at the very beginning when you were first?
Well, as far as eyeballs go, basically the characters look straight ahead or they go slightly wall-eyed to convey alienation. They don't have that one eye up and one pupil up, one pupil down look, you know, for craziness too. What are some of the other rules? Just as far as sound effects, no boings, no boing, you know, when they get hit. All the sound effects are relatively realistic. I mean, you know, when Homer falls over and you know, cracks his back against a fire hydrant, I mean, it's a celery crunch, but it could be a spine.
Now,
but it's not a boing. You know, it's not a Three Stooges sound effect.
But with sound effects, is it true that you originally provided the sound effect that you did the sucking for Maggie on the pacifier?
Well, on the pacifier, yeah. Well, yes, I did.
And have you now turned that duty over to a pacifier specialist?
You know, I think through the miracle of modern technology, as far as I know, it's still the same suck. It's they only had to do it once, and then they just keep repeating it. You know, that's how it goes.
Wow.
That's just my tongue against my lower lip.
What do you have about keeping Bart, especially, at that exact age in school?
You know, one of the great things about animation is that your actors don't get old and decrepit. You know, they don't rob stores. They don't they don't have tragic rehab stories. You know, anything like that. They just stay the way you draw them. And I think it's one of the fun things we have with The Simpsons is that Bart has turned 10 so many times. And you know, we've talked about aging them. When this actor's strike happened on the show, there was one suggestion from a Fox executive to, why don't you just age the characters and then have different voices? That's a solution. We thought that was not such a good
idea. That's
scary.
Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons.